Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3 to 4, even though we are looking at a prophetic theme from John chapter 1, verse 14, that says that the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us, and we've seen its glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the prophetic theme for the month is we beheld his glory. But on Sundays, we're looking at in pursuit of vision. Somebody say in pursuit of vision. And today our key scripture is taken from 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 3, and verse number 4. Somebody's blessed. All right, if you are there, then let's read in concert. Let's go. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertains unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto. And what? Wow. Verse 4. Hereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world to come. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning because you have made all things possible and beautiful, even in your time. We thank you for a brand new day and Sunday morning like this. We thank you for your word that is about to unfold unto us. As the flower fades and the grass withers, your word will forever remain. I pray that let your word be greener like never before, and let your people, together with myself, feed like never before. We pray that may we be nourished in our spirit and increase in our body. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I yield my mind, my soul, my body. I pray that use me to be a vessel of honor this morning. And let everyone that hear the sound of your voice be blessed like never before. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're doing In Pursuit of Vision Part 1B. Last week at the joint service, we did Part 1A. Amen. Now the scripture we just read clearly defines and tells us or makes us to understand that every child of God is called unto something. Every child of God is called unto something. Say, I am called unto something. The verse number 3 makes us to understand that, this very important message I'm trying to carry across. Verse number 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. It said that for his divine power has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through our knowledge of him that has called, our knowledge of him that has called us toward glory and virtue. That presupposes that we have been called unto glory and unto what? Virtue. Praise God. So that is Peter's theology, that every child of God, anyone who comes to believe in Jesus Christ, you have not been called into shame. You have not been called to be disgraced. You have not been called to be disappointed, but you have been called to glory and to virtue. Amen. In the same understanding, Paul also made us to understand with the same theology in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 13. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 13. And he said that moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Tell somebody, I'm called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So you realize that Peter and Paul are speaking at different times to different people, but they are speaking the same thing. And what they are saying is that every child of God have been called to glory. Praise God. And I believe it is important for us to understand that we have been called to something. And that which we have been called to is not your decision. That which you have been called to do, that which you have been called into, is not your decision, but you rather discover it. Is somebody here with me? You don't decide what you have been called into, but you discover what you have been called into. Am I making a good point here? So, the things that you have been called into is what we call vision. That which you have been called to discover. For what you have been called to discover or to know and to walk in it is what we call vision. Last week we quoted Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 4, when God called Jeremiah to be ordained as a prophet. He said that, then the word of the Lord came to me. 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 Saying, so he did not decide what would happen to him, but the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord defined his purpose and his plan for his life. The word of the Lord came to me saying, the verse number 5 says that, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained you as a prophet. Everything was programmed and he had to discover. The word of the Lord came to him. So this backs our point that vision is that which has already been programmed for you to discover. Somebody's blessed. We have similar example in Abraham's life in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. God again called Abraham. God called Abraham. He said, now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, not to where you know or what you decide to go or where you want to be, but to the land that I will show you. So even as the time God is speaking to Abraham, Abraham didn't know where God actually was leading him, but the word of the Lord came to him that he should move. Is somebody here with me? And then you go on to understand that as Abraham became obedient to the word of God, Abraham became a blessing. Is somebody here with me? So we must understand that your vision is that which God has programmed for you to discover. Somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. The discovering of what God has called you for is what we call vision. Is what we call what? Vision. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. Abraham was called to be the father of many nations, through whom all the blessings of the Lord will flow to everyone that believes. Amen. Now take this. In your vision is your glory. Remember, we are looking at beholding his glory. In your vision is your glory. So when you discover what you have been called into, then you begin to see God's glory and goodness in your life. When you are able to discover what God has called you into or has separated you for, then you begin to walk in God's glory and God's goodness. This vision that every man must discover comes through certain channels. Last week I told you that it comes through by reason of steps or ladder in which we need to climb. And this service, it also comes through channels. Say channels. Now, vision is either communicated or shown. This is very important. Vision is either communicated or shown. Now, when you look at the example of Jeremiah, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, so there was a communication. Jeremiah heard the word of the Lord concerning his life. Now, when the case of Abraham, the Bible said that, leave your father's house and I will show you the place where your blessings are located. So you realize that in vision, it is through communication and also through what? It's through what? Showing. Hallelujah. Now, there are channels, basically two important channels through which we can discover our vision. Go with me to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Now he says that, for the giftings and the callings of God are without repentance. The giftings and the callings of God are without repentance. Now the two major channels by which we discover our vision is through the giftings channel. Number one, the gifting channels. And then number two, the calling channels. The two ways by which we discover God's vision for our life is through the gifts channels. And then the what? The callings channel. Praise God. All these channels are heavenly. They are heavenly. See that the gifts and the callings of God are not what? Repentance. Praise God. And these channels are what? Heavenly. Tell somebody they are heavenly. Last week, I want us to quickly look at Revelations 4:1. I mean, we said it on last week that when we need to discover our vision, there is a need for us to go up. There's the need for us to go up. He said, after this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me. Wow. Which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must behold thereafter. Praise God. Now, he's saying that in order to be able to receive these channels, that is the getting channel and the calling channels, you must be able to come up either. Come up either. Come up either. God is calling us into a higher place, a place that is heavenly, and a place that is not earthly. You cannot receive God's direction, plan, and purpose for your life without coming up with Him. There is the need to rise up with the Lord. Somebody is blessed. I said, somebody is blessed. Now, I want us, so you can imagine, as I said last week, in going up, you need a ladder. And on ladder, there are hot steps. Praise God. I remember last week, we concluded on the step of meekness. That one of the things we need as a step to be able to go up so that we can see the vision or discover God's vision for our lives is to be meek. Tell somebody, is to be meek. And we spoke much about meekness. And I just want to say one or two things and then I give you today's step. Today we'll be looking at one step and then the second service will look at another step. Amen. Amen. Now you must understand that we defined meekness to be having an open-hearted life, ready to receive instructions and ready to follow. If you didn't get it, write it now. Meekness is having an open-hearted life, ready to receive instructions and ready to follow. If you don't have the heart to receive instructions and the attitude to follow it, God will not show you his plan and purpose. You will not see the vision that God has for you until you have the heart to receive and the attitude to follow that which you receive. God will not unfold the vision for your life to you. Why? Because he knows your heart. God knows what is in your heart. He knows it. He knows that if your heart is not of a contrite spirit, if your heart is not that which is teachable, there is nothing that God will show you and that you will be able to what? To follow. Amen. Meekness, and go with me to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 9. Let's look at something strange here. Let's look at something strange about a man called Moses. This is a man that God has called him. God gave him a sister and a brother. There were people who were helping him one way or the other. But let's look at something here. The Bible says that, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Wow. It's normal. Tell somebody it's normal. You know, there are times that when you are going to marry, especially if you are a guy in a family and you go and bring a woman home, and it's like, you know. So they looked down on Moses. They started speaking against Moses because, they were not in agreement with the choice that Moses had made. And the Bible said that, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? So they were rising up against a man that God calls him his friend, number one, and then a man that the Bible described him as meek. They were speaking against him. And they were trying to think that, is he the only person that God can speak to? God can also speak to any other. Now the Bible say that, had he not spoken also by us? Now listen, the Bible said that God heard the conversation. Whatever they were saying, God physically was not present, but he heard it. Is somebody here? Now let's follow to verse number. Now the man Moses was very meek. Wow. What make Moses meek? He was ready to receive instructions and was ready to what? Follow it. In fact, throughout Moses' ministry, you saw how Moses anytime would download from God and begin to act. Now God would tell Moses, do this. Then he go. Even though he may have challenges, he receives the information and he begins to act. Now God said that Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now verse number 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam. You know, Miriam was a sister of Moses. You know that? Was one that after Moses was born and he was put on the sea, Miriam was the one who was standing by to tell the Pharaoh's daughter that you remember that was older than Moses. And they had command. They could bully him around. But then when they were speaking against a man that God deemed as meek, God came into it. And this is what the Lord said. He said that, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. Now God himself is speaking. He said, you Aaron, come. You Miriam. God called him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the Bible says that, and day three, God come here and say, you come. Wow. The verse number five. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Verse number six. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in what? In a vision. And I will speak unto him in a dream. And servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful? The reason why I'm reading all this is this scripture. Go. He said that my servant Moses is faithful in all my house. Now, what is the Lord speaking to us? Faithfulness. Meekness is being faithful. The grace to receive instruction and the attitude to follow it. Is anybody here with me? So how do you define meekness? It is an open heart to receive, no matter how hard it is, no matter how tough it may be. You receive what God is telling you and you follow it. That brings you into your place of vision, the vision that God has for your life, in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. We are living in a day where people are kind of, they are not humble. And they are not humble, not because, they don't want to be humble, but they feel that, they have their right to be able to speak at all times. Now, what is deemed as self-confidence has translated into something we call pride. The fact that you are self-confident doesn't mean you are not humble. Many people think that, okay, I'm trying to be confident, I'm trying to be self-confident, but yet they are operating in the spirit of pride. Praise God. Servant Moses was a man who was received instruction and was able to follow it. Amen. Meekness, or one of the core elements of meekness, or a sign of meekness, is correction. Correction. A sign for meekness is correction. 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 One core thing about meekness is correction. Correction. Your ability to receive instructions and change from what is happening. If you are not able to receive instructions and change, you cannot be classified as what? As a meek. Praise God. Praise God. Meekness is what puts a man in command. Meekness is what put what? A man in command. And we saw this also in the life of Abraham. You can imagine Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. God called Abraham and said that, leave your father's house.
Why shouldn't I leave my father's house? I've been staying here all my life. And as for this one, this is not the voice of the Lord. I've settled here. I've made friends here. This should not be the voice of the Lord.
Have we come to a point in time where we have even nagged about the things God is telling us? Come on, tap somebody, say, pastor is talking to you. God says, leave.
What am I going to do? What is going to happen to me? I've settled here.
Abraham was a man who was ready to receive all instructions and follow it. It didn't end there. At a point in time, You know, when God called Abraham, Abraham needed to be circumcised. How many of you know circumcision? Praise God. And now you realize that, look at the young boys, the boys. Now, I've had two boys, so I know what it takes for them to be circumcised. I've forgotten how mine was like. But I could feel for my sons at the time they were circumcised. Even they were young. But yet, and even with all the modernization we have today, they still felt the pain. Abraham at that time was 90 years, and God said that, take your this thing, go, and then cut it. You say, Ash, how many of you are willing to obey such an instruction? Is somebody here with me? And as for this one, God, let it pass. Let this cup do what? Pass by. Huh? God, you want me to take my this thing, go, and then they cut it? You see, look at, there were no, what do you call it, anesthesia to kind of numb the pain. No painkillers to kill it. Yet God said that, go and have circumcision. How many of you are willing to receive such an instruction and follow it? It takes a heart of meekness to be able to do that. It didn't end there. At the last minute, when God had glorified him with a son, one day God woke up and said, hey, my friend Abraham, you know that thing is not yours. Go and sacrifice it for me. God, oh, I'm hearing, no, this one day it looks like I'm hearing my own heart. But yet, Abraham received the instruction, took Isaac along with him, and then they started moving. I want to believe that at a point, and as Isaac was pestering the father as where the lamp is, I believe that Abraham told Isaac that you are the lamp. Is somebody here with me? You are hot, the lamp. But who are you to retort what God has said? That is meekness. When everything is going well for you, when nobody is speaking or giving you instructions, that is so hard, you may think you are meek. No. Wait till the instructions become so hard. Wait till your heart cannot bear it, whether you'll be able to receive it and act upon it. Stop bragging and say that I'm meek. When everything is playing to your advantage, may the Lord give us a heart of meekness. Oh, that is weak for somebody right here. I said, may the Lord give us a heart of meekness. Somebody's blessed. Now, today's point, the second ladder that is for the this morning's service that I want us to look at, that we need to know in order to come up to the place of discovering the vision that God has for us. Somebody's blessed. I said, somebody's blessed. Wow. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 8. Is anybody following at all? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go. He said that, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Is anybody here with me? Now we are going straight to 14. Go on. No. Verse 9, 10, 11, 12 to 14. Now let's go. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ears heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now pause it, we'll continue. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have tried to search something from Google? Google. How many of you? Is it Google? Google. Google. Say Google. Yeah. How many of you have tried to search something? You just type a word at a column and it would download to you all kinds of what? Meanings and statements and everything that has to do with the word. Now here, the Holy Spirit is, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is a searcher. The Holy Spirit is what? A search engine that is able to download things that are with God unto you. That is why you need him. In fact, Google has made life easier for researchers. Are you understanding? Because anything you want to have any idea on Google, you begin to have varied ideas. Is anybody here? So is the Holy Spirit for the believer. Is anybody here with me? So he said that for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now continue with me to verse number 11. He said that, now listen, he says that, for man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Are you following it? These are very, very straightforward. Now he says that, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of what? Of God. That we might know. Oh, come on, push it. That we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So underline, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. That we might know the things that are freely. Now he said, look at it. Then so the answer comes here. He said that which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. Now go to verse number 14. But listen. So this is where the secret is. But the natural man. Come on, push it. Come on, push it. Everybody go with me. But the natural man receiveth not of the Spirit, for they are what? Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. The second ladder in this service that you need to be able to come up to the place where you discover your vision is your spirituality. Push it. Come on. Your spirituality. Say my spirituality. I'm not feeling you. Someone say my spirituality. Why? Because it says, the natural man. Who is the natural man? The man who is not spiritual. Not the man who is not a Christian. So a Christian, in Christendom, we have natural Christians. And that is carnal Christians. And we have spiritual Christians. So a man can be in church, but yet not spiritual. And it takes spirituality to be able to discover God's vision for your life. Because it says, natural man receiveth not. There is no way that an unbeliever can be able to receive God's vision for their life. I'm here to announce to you once again that anything that you see an unbeliever doing or achieving is by ambition. It is not by God's plan and purpose for their life. It is by all heart, their own ambition. Is somebody understanding me? No, are you following what I'm saying? No. So it takes spirituality. But the natural man receiveth not the that the things of the Spirit of God, the natural man can never receive. So you don't need to be carnal. You don't need to be natural. When you are natural, you can't receive, you can't download. The Spirit cannot search things of God and release them to you. Why? Because you are too carnal. You are too natural. You are too natural. You are living your life in a natural way. But God didn't call us to be natural. He called us to be spiritual. He said that the time is coming, and that time is now, when the true worshipers shall worship him in spirit and in truth. You need to contact God with your spirit, not with your physical body or your carnality. Is somebody here with me? Come on, shout, I need to be spiritual. Is anybody following me? Say, I need to be spiritual. Oh, come on, shout it for the last time. I need to be spiritual. Hallelujah. Because the spiritual things belongs to God. And the physical things or carnal things are here on earth. Somebody here with me. And you must understand that there's a vast gap between vision and ambition. I told you last week that vision is heavenly. And ambition is what? Earthly. And there is a vast gap. There is no way that anybody who is using ambition can compete with somebody with God's vision for his life. Tell me. There is no way. There is no way. Maybe you have not come to test of it. But there is no way that somebody who is trying to live this life with his own ability, his own strength, his own ideas. Oh, I need to marry. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to become that. Oh, I need to do this. And everything he starts to do is more like using self-effort and his ability to be able to reach that goal, make that point, get that place, meet that need, do that. There is no way that person can compete with somebody that God is speaking to, that you have been called unto this. You are supposed to fulfill this purpose in your life. You have been separated and consecrated for this purpose. And as the person receives and begins to walk and follow the instructions of God, there is no way that person will be rendered at the background. Or the person with ambition can be able to override or compete with a person with vision. I pray for you today that you will carry the vision of God for your life. The Bible says that, why is it so? Why is it so? Why is it so? Because his ways are not your ways. Yeah, there are ways of God and there are ways of man. Ways of God are visions, and the ways of man are ambitions. He said that his ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts are our thoughts. But look at the dimension. As far as the heavens are high above. In other words, as far as the vision of God for your life is so high, so his ways are higher than your ways, and his thoughts are what? Higher than your thoughts. Now, I love the scripture because it did not just put us at a point where we are separated from God, or it didn't try to tell us that we cannot receive the ways of God. No, but it's just trying to tell us the dimensions of how things can operate. The dimensions of higher ways, which is heavenly, which is vision, the purpose of God for your life. And then the dimension, the lower dimension, which is earthly, which is man's ambition, what man purposed to do. He said that they are far. But the good news is that a man can attain God's vision for your life. Your amen is weak. You can receive and discover God's plan and purpose for your life by the instrumentation of what? Your spirituality. Somebody's blessed. I said somebody's blessed. So it takes spirituality to climb the steps or the ladder of discovering your vision. Somebody's blessed. Now, spirituality is not a realm. It is not a realm. It is not a realm. Spirituality is not a realm. It is a lifestyle. Spirituality is a lifestyle. Come on, drop it. Spirituality is a lifestyle. Oh, come on. Spirituality is a lifetime. It is not. It is not. It's a lifestyle. It is not a realm you enter. It's not a realm you enter. You don't become spiritual by coming to church on Sunday morning. Come on, can I push it? No. You don't become spiritual when you enter this room. But spirituality is supposed to be what? A lifestyle. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10, let's look at something quickly. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 10. The Bible talks about John the Revelator. He says, And I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Come on. I was in the spirit on the Lord. Tell somebody I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And John, being in the spirit on the Lord's day, look at what happened. He said that, and I heard. I told you that vision is either communicated or what? Shown. So some of you may not see physical things like a dream playing in your eyes. But some of you will hear a voice. This is the way. Walk in it. I was in the Lord's day. I was in the spirit in the Lord's day. So without spirituality, you can never hear from God. You can never hear. We are in church. The word of God is coming to everybody. But there are people who are not able to process this word because they are not spiritual. If, as a matter of fact, they are looking at how the pastor is dressed and start commenting it in their head. In fact, forgive me. Tell somebody, forgive me. But then the point is that until you have become spiritual, you are not able to receive instructions and to follow it. That means spirituality is a key to discovering the vision of God for your life. You have to be spiritual in order to hear His voice. Somebody is blessed. You have to be what? In order to do what? Praise God. So the vision channel and the hearing channel, as you see, has to take your spirituality in order to be able to what? See and to be able to hear. Now let me tell you, God speaks through the vision channel and the hearing channel. We all know radio. Radio has hearing channels. How many of you have radios? And there are many channels which we call stations on the radio dial. Is that not so? Now, as you tune in, or not until you tune in, you'll not be able to hear whatever is happening on a particular channel. Am I right? The fact that you haven't tuned in doesn't mean that the channel is not working. Come on, push it. The fact that right now as we are speaking, Love FM is working. But are we hearing anything from there? Why? We've not tuned in to it. That is the hearing channel. The same thing applies to television. Now we have multi-TV, we have DSTV and all kinds of things. They all carry what? Viewing or seeing channel. Now you choose which of the channels you want to view. And before, what God is telling us, that before God can show you or you can receive the channel, the viewing or seeing channel or the hearing channel, you need to tune in. How do you tune in? Your spirituality. So somebody will walk in life throughout his or her life, be in the church, serve God anyway, but then have never and will never hear the voice of God and will never see any direction that God wants. Why? Because he's not spiritual. It takes spirituality to climb the ladder of discovering your vision. Is somebody here with me? Let me quickly sum up and then go. So what then? Well, spirituality is not a state or a realm that a man gets to, but spirituality is a life that a man lives. Drop it. It is a life that a man lives. What do I mean by that? I mean yielding your members. Yielding, when I talk about your members, yourself. Yielding your mind. Yielding your spirit. Yielding your emotions. Everything that has to do with your soulish area. Yielding your body. Yielding your whole being to the Spirit of God. The things of the Spirit. Yielding yourself to the things of the Spirit. Yielding yourself to the things of... Come on, tap and say, yielding yourself to the things of the Spirit. Come on, push it. Yielding yourself to the things of the Spirit. And in theology, we call something pneumaticos. Pneumaticos. That is N-E-U-M-A-T. And the rest you continue. Pneumaticos. Oh, I can't spell it, but I for the second time. Oh, come on, look at you. Pneumaticos, say pneumaticos. That is yielding your life to the things of the Spirit. Yielding your life to the things of the Spirit. Say the things of the Spirit. Making your life acceptable to Christ. What do I mean by spirituality? Making your life acceptable to Christ. Well pleasing. Living a life that is pleasing to God. And I love what Romans chapter 12 verse number 2 talks about. Romans chapter number 12 verse number 2. Which actually summarizes what spirituality is all about. He said that do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Come on, push it with me. Are you seeing it? But be what? By. It is a process. You don't renew your mind only on Sunday morning. But you renew your mind every day of the week. Every minute, every hour. Have a conscious effort of renewing. It is not one-stop process. But it is a continuous progress. Is somebody here with me? Renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. How do you renew your mind? With the Word of God. With prayer, with consistency, with the things of God. Renewing your mind. Now he says, that ye may prove what is that good. Wow. Remember, he has already talked about it, that you have been called to do this. So, the grace you receive to be able to renew your mind continuously. The grace you receive to be able to walk in the things of God makes you prove that which you have already been called unto, which is good. Come on. I wish somebody understand it. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say? No, let me come back again. Go to verse number 1. Verse number 1 says that, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Come on, help me. You do what? Your bodies as what? Living sacrifice. Now he said, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your... The word reasonable service is the reason why you were called. The reason why God had to predestinate your life. The reason why he had to call you, the reason why he has to justify you, and the reason why he has to glorify you. There's a reason and a purpose for your life. That reason is that you are holy. You are acceptable. Now, how do you prove your holiness and your acceptability unto God? For people to know. Then verse 2, he said, do not conform to this world. The standards of this world. No.
be what?
Transformed by the renewing, continuous renewing of your mind. Now, when you are able to do this, then Paul says that you'll be able to prove that which is good, acceptable will of God, which was your reason why you were called. Any child of God who is not proving that which is good and acceptable, perfect will of God, you have missed your calling. You have missed the reason why God had to even send Jesus Christ to come and die. You have failed. This morning I pray that you don't fail. That is spirituality. Is anybody here with me? So spirituality, I told you yesterday that it is not by speaking in tongues. Spirituality is not speaking in what? Huh? Do you know that our tongues can be memorized? Oh, I it has become part of me. Seriously, I must be frank with you. I don't struggle to speak in tongues. No. It has become part of me. At every hint, my man takaboshia. I mean, when even a kura kura tremor, if you are pakatosika. Amen. You can be deceived. The fact that ubi wa no anatons abandon jesse, you are spiritual. Amen. Some of you talk to God, oh, yes, yeah. Then the tongues didn't come. What? Amen. No. So some of you may think, ah, Charlie, the thing is still there. Charlie, the thing is still there. It hasn't gone. Pa. Keep pato, shade, bedes, leve. No, I wasn't home. Somebody's blessed. Hallelujah. But it is about the life you live. It is about the life you live. If you want to discover God's vision for your life, you need to be spiritual. The first ladder you climb in this service is your spirituality. Living the Christ-like life. Making your life as an epistle where people can write on it and can read. Amen. If this is not your quest, everything you are doing is ambition. And ambition will fail. Ambition will fail. Ambition has a limit. You will get to a point and you'll be stuck and you'll be confused and you will ask yourself, why did I do this at all? You did this because you didn't know God's plan and vision for your life. Is anybody here with me? I pray that you will never do things out of your own ambition. No. You don't do things that are popular. And the fact that everybody is doing it doesn't mean it will work for you. At least it will work to a point. But when you get there and you get stuck, that is where you know that you made a mistake. God doesn't want us to make a mistake. That is why he's teaching us this word today. What is his plan for your life? Get spiritual. He said, for it is written, no eyes have seen, nor ears heard, nor has it ever entered into the heart of any man the things which God has prepared for you. You have no idea what your future looks like. Come on. I said, you have no idea. I said, you have no idea. You have no idea. If you have been a little more spiritual, a little more conscious of who you are, you have no idea the downloads of blessing, of favor, of understanding, of opportunities that God is ready to put on you. May the Lord God bless his word today. In Jesus' name. Come on, be on your feet. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.